Tonight you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray the Spirit of God would birth in your heart that desire to say, I'd rather have Jesus than anything in this world. We welcome our brother, Pastor Ray Bearden, back into this pulpit. God bless you, brother. We thank God for you.
Good evening, folks. It's a good evening. I appreciate the presence of the Lord in the service. I want to thank Brother Marsh and his wife, all the hard work that they put in the camp. There's a lot to this. And I appreciate him inviting me to come. It's been a treat to me to have the privilege to come here to the camp. I've heard about it through the years, but never had the privilege to be here. And I appreciate the spirit of the people in this area. We've been treated so kindly, and you have been just super in those areas, and I want you to know that. Isn't it amazing that God moved in this area, and it came even into North Carolina in many days past, and God is still working in these days, and I bless him that that's so. I met Dr. Stewart. In fact, I heard him preach a number of times when I pastored at Calvary Baptist Church in Kingston, Tennessee, and I pastored there for 33 years. I had him to come by. What a privilege it was. The night that he preached, I have four sons, and after he preached that night and we went home, my third son, after we had gone to bed, woke us up, or actually we were not asleep, and said, I need to get saved. We had prayer meeting in our house, and God brought him into the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I have had the privilege not to see revivals like they had 1904, but there was revival that moved in America in the early 1900s. Actually, when I pastored in Dalton, Georgia for 5 years, and there at the Crown Cotton Mill, they called it, the revivals moved so powerful that they actually closed the cotton mill because God was moving so powerful. We are living in abnormal days in our churches. God has power to turn things around. In 19, and I think it was 80, we started at the first of the year in our church at Calvary. We started reading excerpts like our brother did tonight from books of Dr. Stewart. Anything you pick up of his, you'll be glad that you have it. He wrote in the times when revival was in. He was Scottish. He was one of the greatest Christian, one of the most spirit-filled men that I have ever known. And this is The Invasion of Wells by Dr. Stewart. He actually had the privilege to talk to Evan Roberts. And then this one on evangelism. I don't know how many of these I've got, but if we don't have enough copies and you want them, I'll be glad to mail them to you. I really want to see revival. Amen. And then Pray and Hide. If you don't have Pray and Hide, maybe you ought to try to get that, because that is a great, great, that's a great book on prayer. There's something about reading, you know, about what God has done, across this nation. When times when the power of God is down in the nation. I would that we'd not be, we'd not be abnormal Christians. That's where we are across America in most of our churches. And many men that I think are good men do not believe you can have revival. I do not believe that. I believe that God's the only one that can send it, but I believe that God uses people. So Back when my wife was ill, I stepped down to church because of that. And I started getting involved in doing a little writing and getting out the Word of God. I had to stay close because of her health there for a number of years. But God, through her sickness, you know, when bad things come to us, sometimes we wonder, why is this? But through her sickness, we've touched many parts of the world. We get materials into North Korea. We're getting a lot of materials into North Korea on USBs, a whole message of the Word of God, whole Bible, songs, and testimonies of what Christ has done for people. And we've sent thousands of dollars worth of material to North and South Korea and all across Mexico and South America. And I've got these books. And I'm not trying to, I don't take one penny from anything that comes off of any table. I never have. It's God's ministry. He put me in it. And I would not fleece a Christian. If I knew it, there'd be no way I'd fleece a Christian or a church. And I do not take even a Coca-Cola from the money that comes in. If there's ever a question, I always, well, you know, you just can't go wrong just investing in the Lord's work. I've got a number of our books that we have wrote and others have wrote, and they're down in the dining hall. I wish you'd go by there. There's no price on those. There's books that got prices on them, but I buy those, and I'm taking a little more time than I want to, but I wish you'd get them. I get letters all the time. We get emails. We get contacts all the time, and they find out about the literature. And I wrote that book on the essentials of salvation. That was the first book God put it in my heart. I'll tell you why I wrote it. Not because I thought I was a writer. I got tired of people preaching a gospel that will not save men from their sins. All of this easy believism, you can call it whatever you want to, it's a false gospel. You know, man cannot save himself. Man cannot save himself. Only God can save him. But God surely can use mankind, men and women and young people, to get the gospel around the world. I appreciate all the pastors that's been here in this meeting. I don't know that I've met all of you, but I've just been a pastor. I'm just a man of God, saved by the grace of God. God put me in the ministry. And I'm so glad that I'm in the ministry. I thank you for letting me come this way. I'm going to preach tonight, and I'm going to do a little something a little odd, I think, for myself. But I want to give you something on both sides. So I'm in John chapter 3. I'm coming back to John chapter 3. Some years ago, I don't know how far it's been now, but I really wanted to put something out on John 3:16. And it's the world's greatest text. And I've got that book on the table down there. Pick it up, and maybe it'll help you. I want to read this, and then we're going to Revelation chapter 20. I want you to notice this. This is a wonderful, wonderful verse. Let me read verse 15 of John 3. The Bible said that whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, should not perish. If you don't believe in Christ, Jesus, our Lord, you don't get born again, you're going to perish. But have eternal life. If you believe on him, you can receive him, you have eternal life. Listen to this. For God, and we could say a lot about that. For God so loved the world. There's three words for the world. World of mankind that's out here, all that we're seeing out there, the world of creation. But then there's the world of lost humanity, lost souls that must be converted to Christ or else they're going to perish.
For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. God is a giving God. Now, one reason I'm reading this, we have a devil that is a liar. He's a murderer. He is nothing but a liar. He does not know to tell the truth. But he tells souls down through the ages that what we're preaching is not so. And because of the work of Darwin and all of that, and the universities across this country, we have reached a point and we've reached a time that the minds of many of our young people across this country has been so lied to by the work of men and the work of the devil until they do not even believe in a risen Christ. But the power of God can change it all. Amen. In true revival. And I must move on. Watch what he has to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That word love. There's no word in all the world, in heaven or in earth, that's stronger than God's love. There's nothing that is stronger than love. Love is stronger than death. My wife went to be with the Lord now a little bit longer than 2.5 years. And my love for her is just as strong tonight as it was the day we said I do. There's something about the love of a husband and the love of a wife. There's something like the love of a mother for her children. I saw the mother stand here tonight and those 8 people that sing, and the voices were wonderful. I'm telling you, it's wonderful, ladies, that you bear children, and there's nothing like a mother's love. Maybe I'll get to Revelation 20, I may not. But I want you to know, for God so loved, there's no love like the love of Christ. And marvel, I've never ceased to marvel. And the more I know about him, and the more he's helped me, and all these 66 years of knowing him and serving him, I want you to know there is none like him. There is none like him. If you ever get to know him, you'll be so glad you did. But if you don't know him tonight, the worst mistake that you could ever make in your entire life is to reject the word of God, reject the Savior that come into this world to die upon the cross and to shed his blood. And by the way, his blood is sufficient. His blood is powerful enough to save men from the uttermost unto the guttermost. You don't get so far down, but what the mighty power of God Almighty can reach down into the gable end of your soul and convict you of your sins and draw you by his mighty power and bring you into the family of God and make you a son of God, washed in the blood, indwelt by the Spirit. And then as you go on and you grow in the Lord and you realize that I don't only need to be indwelt by the Spirit, but I need to be filled with the Word of God. I don't only need to be filled with the Word of God, but I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which is the third person in the Godhead. And Jesus Christ lives in me, but he walks in me. He walks beside me in the precious book of God, calls the word of God. He brought me to Christ. Amen. Now I get stirred a little bit, maybe too much, but the Lord is so good. He stirs my soul. And oh, when I preach and he really stirs me, I feel like I'm just a young man, but I feel like I'd almost run back to Kingston. But when I get through, if I can get to the motel, I'd think I did. All right. God is so good. This is real. This is real. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's the giving God. I like to give, don't you? You know, when you're ready to get right with God, you'll want to give. You'll give of yourself. You'll give of your kindness. You'll give in every way that you can. And then as you move along and grow in the Lord, you won't only pay tithes, but you'll give offerings, and you're delighted that you can. And even in this camp this week, I'm sure they could use offerings that maybe you haven't even thought about. But I've never been in a real Holy Ghost revival that sinners did not get converted and people got touched to give to the work of God in many parts of the world. But most of all, the gift of Jesus is the greatest gift that's ever given. And the next greatest thing to that is when he gives you and I eternal life. Oh, we're going to be with him. So don't you ever let Satan tell you God don't love you. If you're saved, God loves you. And he wants you to grow. If you're unsaved, God loves you. He has proved that he loves you by sending his only begotten son. And he surely does not want you to perish. He wants you to come to Christ. He wants you to come to the Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I like this. That whosoever believeth in him. There's no salvation where there's no conviction. There's no salvation where a person does not come to the Lord. And some fight lordship. And I said this the other night, I won't say it again. When you come to Christ, you come by the working of the Spirit of God. You can find that in John 16. He draws you to Christ. And when you come to the Lord, he is Lord of the living and Lord of the dead. And every knee will bow, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. If you're in the Lord, you're in the ship. If you're not in the Lord, you're not in the ship. Lordship. Now, you have a right to be wrong if you want to be, but I believe that with all my soul because that's what the Bible says. And not only that, but that brings you repentance. And then faith in Christ and then a changed life. It's the greatest gift. I must move. All right? But whosoever believeth in, you know, I wish that people that make lighthearted professions get a hold of that word. Believeth. It's continuous action. I've seen people make professions and never come back to church. And this easy gospel, they call it. It's a false gospel. That all you have to do is agree mentally with some verses. That's humanism. That's not salvation, that's humanism. That's man trying to agree with something rather than receiving the person of Christ. Right. Amen. When you turn by faith in Christ and you repent, when a person repents, they take sides with God against their self. And you agree, I'm a sinner, Lord. You agree, I'm lost, Lord. You agree that God is right about everything. And you're wrong about the fact that you can save yourself. Our religion is good enough. You can go to all the catechism classes you want to. You can go to all the Baptist classes you want to. You can go to Sunday school and preaching, and you ought to. But until you get born again by the Spirit of God and Christ cleanses you from your sins and comes to live inside of you, you do not have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Friend of mine, oh my, Dr. Dickerson and I was with him when he got born again. Verse 17, let me read this. I got to move. I know it may be a little more length than I want it to be, but I tell you, there's souls at stake. I wish we could get really broke. I've been asking God to really help me in this area. Oh, I'm so glad I got everlasting life. Verse 17 said, for God. Now look at this. Are you lost? Listen at this side. Are you saved? Look at this. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I purposely took time to that. I want you to get it. Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came into the world, my friend, that you and I might be saved. But you got to come his way, because he is the only way. Now right here is where you're getting in trouble. The next verse. If you don't know the Lord, this is where you get in big trouble. Verse 18 said, he that believeth on him. I like that, don't you? He that believeth on him. I mean, you completely take him. You completely receive him. You completely reject sin. You completely turn from your sin. If you still are sinning and you enjoy sinning and you think you're saved, you are deceived. There's three ways you can get deceived. You can deceive yourself, the devil can deceive you, or somebody else can deceive you. The devil works all the time. Let's take our time on verse 18. The Bible said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but, and you better watch that, when God steps in, but he, doesn't make any difference who you are, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I hope this would wake you up. I hope it would wake anybody up that's lost. Well, I'll just take my chances, preacher. You better not. If you found a man on death row over here tonight, and he is waiting for the day when he would die, I want you to know he's no more on death row than you are, sitting right here in these pews tonight. You're on death row. And if you reject Jesus Christ and you've never come to him, you are already been sentenced. You know why you've already been sentenced? Because you have not come and you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. He that has the Son has life. Amen. And he that has not the Son has not life. And the Son is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is that Jesus Christ come and lived upon this earth. And we read about it in the scripture tonight. And he was taken out and put on the rugged cross. Nobody really took his life. He laid his life down and he willingly shed his blood, which there's no blood like the blood that was shed at Calvary, because it is so powerful and it does such a good job that you can't go so far in your sins. When God deals with you and draws you to Christ, you will, if you by faith trust him as Lord and Savior, and he does the work, you're saved as God is, the Son of God is himself. I'm going to make a statement. I want to make a statement right here. And I thought about it, and I've made it before now. I'm going to make it again. This is not blaspheme. It sounds almost like blasphemy. But hallelujah. If you're saved and you get a hold of this, you'll be glad you got a hold of it. That's in you. That happened the day you got born again. If you are born again, that's the thin news as pure as God himself. Amen. That part of you that is born of God, now you sin because you still have the flesh. You're not perfect when you get saved. If I step over the line, Brother Marsh, you tell me. But that part of you that is born to God is just as pure as God himself. And that part of you that's born to God never has sinned since you got saved. But we got the old man. And I'm just as saved and you're just as saved. And this is not blaspheme. This is the truth. It's you got as much right to heaven or you don't have any right at all. I don't know about you, but I think we're pretty well fixed if we know him. But I do know this about you. If you don't know the Lord, you're in a mess. And you don't even know you're in a mess. And I didn't know I was in a mess. But boy, when I found out, when he come to me, somebody said I was hunting for God. He's hunting for me, and he found me. Amen. Oh, yes, he came to me. And he confronted me. See, salvation is revelation. God reveals himself to you. God brings you the place and he reveals that I'm God. And that's a shock in a way. Yeah. Are you already on death row? If you're not saved, you are. Thing about the person over here in the prison, he may know that he's got another 12 months. You don't know it, you got another night. I don't know that I'll get home back in Kingston, but I know I'm going to get home to glory. Amen. I don't know that you'll get home, but I know if you get to Christ, you know him, you're going home. Amen. No place like home. I preach meetings. You know, and I've enjoyed being here, but there's something inside of me. I said to Brother Justin, and I wanted to say something about him. He drove me up here. I won't tell you, he's one of the best men you've ever known. I've known him for a number of years. I knew him when he was in Bible school. He's straight as an arrow. Oh, I tell you, I told him, we was coming out of the motel. I said, well, Justin, I guess you understand this. Just one more night with the frogs. And I'm not talking about you folks. I'm just talking about there's no place like home. Is there? Well, I'm going to tell you there's no place like being right with Jesus Christ. Oh, there's nothing like being washed in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You can eat on this. Books down through the years, I used to think, and how naive I was, one of these days I'm going to know. When I was young and just started, I thought, I'm going to know all about this Bible. When I get old, I won't even have to study it. But I'm more, you know, I'm hungrier now than I've ever been, I think. I just can't get much done. But what he got done in me, I want to rejoice in it. Yes, and where you're sitting tonight, oh, if you don't know Christ, I hope you would come to him. I pray you would come to him. Oh, there's a white throne judgment coming. There's a judgment seat of Christ for all believers. There's a white throne judgment coming. I believe believers will be at the white throne judgment. But I wanted to preach this. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say a little bit about it. But I'm really disturbed in myself. I'm really disturbed. You know, I think we just think that our grandchildren, our children has not got much interest in the Lord. our neighbors that don't have much interest in the Lord. That's all, you know, they're going to all be all right. They got a job and they've got an education and they're doing all right. They're just going to be all right. That's a lie of Satan and a lie of the flesh. There is coming a day. John said, I saw. He saw this. That makes me quiver. That makes me know. He said, I saw a great white throne. That's in heaven. That's where Jesus is now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And God revealed this to John. I saw a great white throne, and he that sat up on it. You know who was on that throne? The one that we've been preaching about tonight, the risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. I saw him on that throne. You know what he said? If you're lost, you're going to get there one day. You're going to face God. I'm going to face God. Everyone in this building, you're going to face God. You're either going to face him because you know him on the other side, then that's going to be wonderful. But if you don't know him, you're going to the white throne judgment. If you die tonight and you don't know Christ, you're going to hell. I sat in the room. And I thought, oh, Lord, don't let me preach tonight like I wish people would go to hell. But God, give me a broken heart. Don't let me wish people would go to hell. I would you'd come to Christ. The Bible said that when they stood there, they fled away if they could have, but there was no place for it. I'll get away when he comes. No, the Revelation 6 said you'd cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you and hide you from him that sitteth upon the cross, because the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I'm going to tell you who's going to be able to stand. Them that have been washed in the blood of Christ. Those that's been born of the Spirit of God. Those that have Christ in them. Those that's born of the Spirit. You ever been born of the Spirit? You may have religion. That's not going to get you anywhere. In fact, it may hinder you. In fact, this world's full of religion. You know, all of this stuff that's going on today. And you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved. You're going to appear before the white throne judgment if you're not saved. Saw the dead, the small and great, stand before God. The books was open. That's God's record. He's keeping a record of you as a lost person. Now, I personally believe that there will be degrees of judgment even in hell. Do you want to go to hell? You go to hell, you go to hell with these people that's molesting children. You'll go to hell with people, my friends, that's changing genders in these little children. That's where you're going. That's the kind of people you're going. Well, I have plenty of company. Do you want company with people that will molest little boys and little girls? That's where you're going if you don't get saved. Hell's going to be a bad place. And after all of that, you're going to be there with the devil. And you're not only going to be in hell, but you're going to be in the lake of fire. If that don't put some fear in you, now that scared me. I'll be honest with you. I was afraid of his judgment. I believe the judgment of God's on this nation. And I believe the chastisement of God is on our churches. But I believe there's a remnant of God that if we will pray, God can turn things in ways we would never believe. He's a miracle working God. I was trying to stop. But maybe I ought to just finish up three or four more verses. I begin to quote those verses in John 20, Revelation 20. I done moved myself over, you know, to part of it. I'm in verse 12. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. What's that book? The books were open. He's got down those that are recorded in that those books that don't know Christ, and if you try to justify yourself, you don't have anything to defend yourself because the judge of all the world is in charge now. His name is Christ Jesus. He's going to be judged then. This evening, he's Savior. Watch it. He said, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. You know who the dead were? That's those that's dead in trespasses and sin. But not only that, they have died a physical death. They're in the grave. They're coming forth. And they're going to die a second death. But if you are saved, you will never die the second death. And I understand I'm lengthy, but this may be the difference between where you come to God tonight or don't come to God tonight. Oh, was judged out of those things. Look at it. We're judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The drunk. You know, a lot of Baptists now is drown drinking, and they think it's all right to get their six pack at the store. I believe a dram drinker is as much kin to a drunk as a little pig is its mother. I know what liquor will do for you. I know what liquor will do for a home. If you're fooling around with that and you think you're a Christian, you need to repent. If you think you're saved, you need to get right with God. But I don't think a little toddy hurts anybody. How much you have to drink to get drunk? The Bible said all drunkards they're going to hell. How many drinks you got to have? I'm done a meddling tonight. But I want you to know we need to nail sin. We need to let people know. Young folks, I'm telling you, you'd better keep yourself pure. Amen. This living together outside of marriage is of the devil. Amen. And a lot of people believe they're all right and think they're saved. That's of the devil. Oh, Lord, help us. Verse 13 said, we have the sitting, we have the summons, and now we got the sentence. Well, let me finish up with the summons in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Death and hell, the body, the spirit, the soul is in hell, the soul is in hell. And they were judged every man according to their works. Here's the final sentence. Verse 14 and 15. This is the sentence. And death and hell. That means your body's in the grave. It's gone back to dust, but you're going to come out of there. And you're going to stand at the white throne of judgment. Your soul is in hell. And God's going to bring them back together. Right. And you're going to stand before God. Are you prepared to meet God? You know him. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. They were still in the Bible. death, and hell. So if you go to hell and you die and they put you in the grave, that's not the final thing. The final deal is you're going to stand at the white throne judgment and you're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you're going to be taken and cast in to the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And I'm amazed that when I preach, as sad as that is, that I'm not weeping. I don't want you to go there. I don't hate you. God don't hate you. I'm not preaching to you long because I dislike you. But my heart is so heavy and has been, oh, Lord, save you. You know what? Some of you I'll never see again in this life. In this life. But you listen to me now. I'm going to see you again. You that know the Lord have come to know the Lord, I'll see you in heaven. You that come to know the Lord, I believe we'll be at the white throne judgment. And I know these things, and you believe whatever you want to about it. I know there's a lot of ifs and ands, so I'm not going to get into that. But I'm convinced that's right. But if you're saved, I'm going to see you there. If you're lost, I'm going to see you there. But if you're saved, we're going to be there forever with the Lord. Not at the white throne judge, but we're going to be in glory and we're going to be with Jesus. Oh my. But if you're lost, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And according to verse 10 of chapter 20, you'll be there with the devil. And he's going to be in the lake of fire forever. I'm telling you, your flesh and the way you want to go, it's not worth what you're doing to putting Christ on. The Bible said in verse number 15, For whosoever. Well, who is whosoever? What does the Greek say about whosoever? You know who the Greek says about whosoever? It just says it just like the English, whosoever. You know who that is, don't you? That means you. That means anyone. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know how you can preach it any plainer. I mean, from my standpoint, maybe you can, but I don't know how you... I know there's more in there to preach. But I really felt strong about giving you both passages. It's like kind of giving you both sides of the coin. I gave you the side of the love of Christ. If you go to hell, you're going to walk over the blood of Christ. If you go to hell, you're going to walk over the prayer of all the saints. If you go to hell, you may walk over the prayers of your dad and mother or your grandmother. If you go to hell, you're going to walk over all that Christ has done for you. Are you going to come to him? I've delivered my soul. And I trust Brother Marsh will come. And I hope one day I'll see you in glory.
Amen.
I'm coming, preacher.